You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And of course, we are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. So going into the playoffs, I think this was a big conversation between the trio of these young, really talented, elite quarterbacks in the AFC, between Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. And the conversation was, you know, which duo or which pair of these quarterbacks is going to be the 2023 and beyond version of Manning and Brady? Like, which is going to be the duo of quarterbacks and two teams that are always going at it when it always comes down to the wire, when it's a super competitive environment? And I think we saw yesterday what our modern day, modern era Manning Brady is, and it's Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. That it's going to be those two constantly competing. And the only reason why I say that is because Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals seem to give the Kansas City Chiefs so much more trouble than the Bills ever have. I think the Bills always have this bugaboo with the Chiefs, so they just can't get past the Chiefs.
Although they were the 13 seconds away last year, right? They had it. It was kind of a miracle that
super
the game
close
went
game.
To, yeah. So they were right there. Now this year, not as much, but
even in the regular season,
I do think those three. I would still put the Bills in the mix, and so that makes it tough on the rest of the AFC, don't you think? As long as Josh Allen's there, and now we just get informed that the salary cap's going to go way up, so maybe it's easier when the quarterback is getting the huge second paycheck that you still have enough to spread around for the rest of the weapons. But I still think Chiefs, Bengals, and Bills will be good for the next few years. That's not going to be easy to beat any of those three.
The Bills are getting older. I don't think Stephon Diggs, I wouldn't be surprised if he's trading an offseason. That's just me.
Really?
Yeah. That's just me. I just think he's sort of like A.J. Brown. And this is why, you know, to me, the only two quarterbacks right now that's in that space, that, you know, that air that nobody else can go in is Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. Tom Brady's a GOAT. He's on another planet. That's just him. But he's, you know, he has maybe, a year or two left. But Josh Allen, and I've said this before, I don't put him with those two guys because he makes too many mistakes. It's like, dude, he's almost like a Dan Marino, Joe Flacco, and what other quarterback you want to throw in there? He has an arm like Marino, rocket like Marino. I mean, but he just makes mistakes. Like, your franchise quarterback, the guy that you claim is an elite quarterback, he makes mistakes as if he's just a good quarterback. They always start the season off great, Buffalo, but later as the season goes, for some reason, this team always takes a detour, and a lot of it is on the quarterback. One, because they don't have a run game, a legitimate run game. They need to get him a legitimate run game because he has proven he can't, and I'm going to say this, he can't get you to a Super Bowl alone. He's not a Patrick Mahomes. He's not a Joe Burrow. He can't do it by himself. He needs a run game. If he's allowed to do it by himself, He's Dan Marino, and he's going to play you out of games in the playoffs more than he win you games in the playoffs. It's been proven. Nothing has shown me that he can get to a playoff the way he's playing. I mean, the Super Bowl the way he's playing. That's why he's not on that tier with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. So people, stop that. He's not on their tier. He's not there. He needs an oxygen tank when he goes up in that air. And his oxygen tank doesn't last long. With Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, it's built in their system. It's ingrained in them. They understand. They know what to do in those situations. Josh Allen doesn't.
But if,
that team is getting older.
Would it have been different? And this is a woulda, coulda, shoulda. Because I agree with you. Until mm-hmm. he does it, there's going to be doubt. And I agree. If there's a wrap, he does make more mistakes.
We talk about Dak Prescott all the time. He makes mistakes.
Right.
What's any difference than Dak? And maybe because Josh Allen gets to another game.
But they were 13 seconds away from beating the Chiefs uh-huh. in Arrowhead last year. And it wasn't Josh Allen's fault that they gave up the field goal to tie the game in 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. If they just, squibbed the kick, they probably win that game. There was so many ways. Mm-hmm. And so you do wonder, like Mr. Destiny, there's all these movies, The Sliding Doors, this movie's based on, what would have happened in your life if
you
it goes the other way?
Yeah.
People say about the Music City Miracle. What uh-huh. if it's not the Music City Miracle, what happens to the Titans? You know, how is Jeff Fisher looked upon? There's a lot of things, the mm-hmm. what-if game. And so that's something that Josh Allen is going to have to overcome, and certainly Dak Prescott as well. I still see, though, a team that's going to be a machine. They're not going anywhere. They're going to be in the mix, mm-hmm. which makes it tough for the rest of the AFC, who they don't have those guys to say, okay, how do I, Rand Carthon, how do I construct a team that can beat
right.
the Chiefs, the Bengals? And I'd still put the Bills in that category. I don't think I put anybody else in the AFC, except for maybe Jacksonville now, depending on how they build. Does Trevor Lawrence keep getting better mm-hmm. as he plays more? I mean, you can look at
LA Chargers.
They're a team though that is dysfunctional. Like, what, they haven't done anything.
Anything.
Now he's talented, but mm-hmm. they haven't done anywhere close to what the Bills have done. Do you
Justin
agree? I don't look at their team.
But a lot of it hasn't been the quarterback's fault.
It's been
the coaches. But if you look at Buffalo, with the exception of last year, it's Josh Allen hasn't been able to get his team to the promised land. I'm just going to call it how it is. He's not an elite quarterback to me. He's a damn good quarterback. There's two elite quarterbacks in the NFL right now, minus Tom Brady. Again, Tom Brady's on another planet. Two elite quarterbacks, and they're playing one is playing in the Super Bowl, and the other got put out because they played each other.
Mahomes and Brady.
Burrow. Those are the two elite quarterbacks, like truly elite quarterbacks in the league. Everybody else, they're good to really good. Josh Allen's not in that. Until he wins that AFC Championship game and get his team to the Super Bowl, then for me, he will always be Dan Marino.
I can buy that. Could you make the argument that Allen is third at this point?
I would make that
argument. At this point, yeah, but there's other guys that are right there with him.
Because I look at Manning and Brady. They still needed their Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. It's not like the Steelers were irrelevant.
But
it's not like Pittsburgh was an easy team to get past, but it was Manning and Brady.
I always thought that Ben was an elite quarterback, Manning was an elite quarterback, and Brady. So you had those three guys, and maybe there was another one, but I just can't figure it out right now. But those three guys, there was no question, after a certain period, those were elite quarterbacks because – they did elite quarterback things. Ben didn't make mistakes. You know, Brady didn't make mistakes. Manning didn't make mistakes. So now you have two quarterbacks at this particular time that don't make mistakes like that. And that's Mahomes and Burrow. Josh Allen makes mistakes all the time. And I don't understand why he gets this pass and nobody else doesn't. Until he leads his team to a Super Bowl. Until he does that, he's just a really, really good quarterback.
I think he gets the benefit of the doubt because Josh Allen can do superhero things.
Yeah.
Josh Allen can put his team on his back. Josh Allen can make those really risky, like, long bomb throws, can extend plays. He can be a smart quarterback. We've seen him do really good things. but sometimes he hurts his team.
Aaron, too. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So you got your three. Yeah. But even Aaron, it's like, you can't. You got there once and hadn't been able to do it since.
Right. You know, and those are all quarterbacks that I would take in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's when you're comparing it to the rest of the conference, when you're comparing it to the rest of the AFC, I think that Mahomes and Burrow, how they elevate their teams, how they never seem to be the reason why they hurt their teams, I think is the definitive marker of you are the closest thing, the closest comparison to two of the best quarterbacks of my lifetime, at least, in Manning and Brady. But then that brings in the question of you look at the past generation of the AFC, you know, the Ben Roethlisbergers, the Mannings, the Bradys, and how infrequently other teams were in the conversation. Not that it didn't happen sometimes, but it was the Manning, Brady, and Roethlisberger show. So if we are in that second era of that, where does that leave the Titans? Because right now, they're on the outside looking into this competitive gauntlet of the AFC. And right now, I mean, like those teams that we saw last night, I know that the Titans were competitive with Malik Willis against the Kansas City Chiefs. But in environments like that, game on the line, Super Bowl on the line, AFC championship, I don't know if that's a game that the Titans can be competitive in as far as this roster is constructed. I know that game in the regular season. But I'm saying on a big stage like this, we saw Ryan Tannehill not be able to step up in a big game against the Cincinnati Bengals last year.
It's because you're talking about, okay, that era that has now since passed was almost, the door is almost closing because Brady's still playing. So once Brady stopped, that door's closed of that era of quarterbacks when it was Roethlisberger, Manning, and Brady. But even in that, you always had, and I'm just talking to AFC, because it's crazy that those three great quarterbacks all play in the AFC, but right. You always had Baltimore that was always in there. Mm-hmm. That was always in there just meddling around, making it bad for one of y'all, and then they go on a run and they win a Super Bowl. So that era is sort of now closed once Manning retires. The Titans can be that Baltimore Ravens, but the problem is Baltimore is still playing that way. Mm-hmm. And then you have teams like the LA Chargers that can kind of meddle around or Jacksonville, they can kind of mess things up. But they can be that Baltimore Ravens team if they're not able to go get their elite quarterback, that franchise quarterback. If they continue with Ryan Tannehill, they can be that team that's always in the mix. They're going to get in the playoffs, but they need everything to go right. They need to go on that historic run like Baltimore did to then upset a team like whether it be Kansas City or Cincinnati or possibly even Buffalo. They can do it, but it's going to, if they don't have that guy at quarterback, if they stick with Ryan Tannehill for the next year or two, I'm not saying they can't do it, but they're going to have to go on a historic run, and their defense is going to have to be a part of a lot of it. So I'm not saying it can't happen for the Titans, but I think that until they get their quarterback, if they do get in the Super Bowl, they're going to have to go on one of those runs.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your calls, your texts on that, plus some news from the league. I have a thought on that. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. A little news coming down from the NFL. I want to get into that, but first, your phone, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wilson is up next. What's up, Wilson?
D-Mace, I had a question for the locker room. What was it like for that poor man that pushed Mahomes dang near up in the stands and set up that field goal? What was the rest of his night like?
That's a great question.
Well, you and thanks for the call. Well, did you see the clip of as they were walking in the locker room, and I forgot one of the linebackers was just screaming, "Why would you push the quarterback out of bounds? Why?" And
the guy's in tears.
You understand the frustration from the guy that's screaming it, but he didn't do it intentionally. He was running over there. He's doing exactly what is ingrained in him, what he's taught. Just hustle, hustle, hustle. The play's never over. And he didn't push Holmes like egregiously. He sort of kind of like, just tell. But Holmes, he sold it. And then the guy, I think he ended up messing up his knee, too. His knee ended up buckling. Yeah, it looked bad. He didn't run over there.
I'm glad you said something about that. I do think, and I was arguing with, I was watching with my whole family. Mahomes sold it a little bit.
Oh, he sold it.
Which you should. And that's become kind of an art form in sports, right? You sell it. And you know, some old school people think that is, like, LeBron is the all-time, right? The
Flopmaster.
Duke basketball, very known for the flopping.
Basketball,
flopping.
Soccer.
Yeah.
I mean, soccer's
on a whole nother level.
King
it's
of
a
the
whole
flops.
Nother level. But I do think Mahomes kind of loses his balance. Yeah. Oh, he didn't hit him that much, but it was a penalty.
It was a penalty.
And I love the question because I do think that is, because I'm sure in the moment everybody was like, what are you thinking? But then you put yourself in his shoes as a competitor, like, he's hustling. He's trying. He made a terrible mistake at the worst time. Now he's going to be known. People will never forget that play. But he felt it right away. He said he couldn't leave the bench. He was frozen on the bench. They kept showing him. He was in tears. And I give him credit. He went up and talked about it to the media. So I'm hoping that the teammates, that's the only way you can recover from some of that, right? This guy is going to have an off season like nobody else,
it's
right?
Sort
he's
going to like
be
the,
feeling that the whole off season until they play another game.
It's sort of like Houston for Kansas City when he jumped off sides. I know the whole off season it was just like every 10 minutes, it's like, man, I can't even watch football right now because when I watch it, it brings back those memories. And I'm sure for that young man, it's going to be something that he thinks about periodically throughout the whole offseason. And it's going to haunt him. But, I mean, he got to understand this is a guy that plays a lot, that they depend on, and I'm sure he's made more good plays than bad plays. Unfortunately, the play that he made ultimately, you know, put Casey in a position to kick a field goal. And did that one play necessarily – you know, lose the game for Cincinnati? No, because there were a bunch of other plays in there that, you know, frankly, the no calls or the missed calls or whatever contributed to everything that happens. But we only going to remember what happened right before the field goal was kicked.
It's the most obvious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One.
And remember Ryan Tannehill talked about how he went to see therapists to try to deal with, you know, the feeling that, you know, that you let the team down. You had a poor performance in a huge game on a big, big stage. I'm sure that guy is going to need some of that. He's going to need support from his teammates, his family, his friends, and maybe some professionals, right, to try to be able to overcome that. And like you said, he might have injured himself. I don't know if they said anything about that, but that looked bad over there by the sideline. You want to root for that guy to hopefully come back around and have a good moment, right, down the road somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's not remembered for only that.
And that's
Bill Buckner kind of thing, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're not remembered for that bad thing forever. And I don't think he will be. At least I hope he won't. He's young. It's his second year in the league. Mm-hmm. And it's a learning experience. Hey, I mean, that ideally, you will not have that learning experience in the AFC Championship when the game is on the line and there's, you know, 20-something seconds left on the clock. Ideally, those lessons aren't learned there. But this is the NFL. You're going to learn your lessons and you're going to make mistakes. But I do feel for him. Mm-hmm. He was in a fit of tears, but he's young.
Hey, some lessons you learn in practice and some lessons you learn on the field. Unfortunately, you learn on the field.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, so that's one of the lessons he learned on the field that, you know, yeah, it's great to hustle and everything else. And that you don't want to take that away from a young guy. Mm-hmm. But I think you just got to know you got to know the magnitude of the game. And then you got to know the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, if that was maybe, you know, Ryan Tannehill, maybe they don't call that, you know. But it's Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Or if it's Joe Burrow, they're going to call it, you know, more times than not.
A little bit of league news. Tom Pelissero putting it out there just about 30 minutes ago. The NFL has informed teams today that the 2023 salary cap will be a record $224.8 million per team. That's up from $208.2 this year and $182.5 in 2021, which, of course, was a lot lower because of COVID, because of the TV deals during COVID. But it's up $16 million per team. My thought on this is, I always say when talking about the salary cap and talking about rearranging the salary cap and rearranging deals. You always say they're just going to kick it down the line. They're going to kick it down the line. They're just going to arrange these deals, add, you know, fake years on the contract, push money down the line. This is an instance where whatever we say pushing money down the line, I don't think is fair. Because the cap just continues to go up and up and up. So when you do decide to redo these deals or, you know, renegotiate these contracts to make more room in the cap in the here and now, that you never really pay those dividends. You never really face the repercussions. So when we say, you know, the salary cap is so malleable, this is what I mean of, you know, when you push it down the line and push it down the line, you never really face those repercussions because it just keeps going up and up and up. And you can just keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing because it'll only go up and up and up.
I think GMs definitely count on that. I don't know that was true in 2020. Like, I do think some GMs were like, whoa, I thought it was going to go up. Mm-hmm. And it didn't go up for a couple years because of COVID, right? They didn't have the stance. So it was restricted a little bit for a couple of years, and now I think they've come out of that with flying colors, I think, compared to other leagues for sure. So I think you see a bigger jump than normal. So I do wonder what is the effect, because you're right. There's always been flexibility. Now you have the same flexibility, the malleability we're talking about, and you actually have real room to add too. Mm-hmm. That I'm not sure if the GMs were counting on that or not, but I wonder what Rand Carthon thinks right away when he sees that. Like, okay, I got my number. I've been looking at our board. Who can we keep? I wonder what that does to his process of trying to figure out who to keep, who can I go get, how do I make this roster more competitive?
Makes it a little bit more flexible. Makes it easier. Yeah.
And, of course, it does. It's relative because everybody's got the same.
Well, it's good because now, I mean, hell, you got to pay Jeffrey Simmons, so it's good to get that extra money.
I would think it would be number one on the list. I've got some room. And I think players probably. Yeah. So if you're a free agent, you're seeing that and going, wow, okay, my market just, it's good. Because I would say more people have the room to get not only a superstar player in there, but if you're like a mid-range free agent trying to get another job, the market probably is better for you now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls and your texts. I see your phones lining up. We'll write to them next. Plus, a dream of mine, I think, is dead. And I'll explain why coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. A dream of mine died yesterday, I believe. Because last week, we talked about who is your ideal quarterback in 2023. And I said, give me Trey Lance. There is nobody who knows more about Trey Lance than who is now in the Titans building and Rand Carthon. Maybe, you know, Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch. But Rand Carthon probably knows Trey Lance better than anybody. I thought that the 49ers would be able to part ways with Trey Lance and you'd be able to get him at least on some sort of a bargain. If Brock Purdy did bring them to the promised land, which would have been a very tall order.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is still a possibility that, hey, Brock Purdy stays healthy. Maybe the 49ers do win that game. Maybe they do go to the Super Bowl. So, hey, Trey Lance could have been up for the taking. A young quarterback. They always say he's unproven. But Rand Carthon knows him. But I think that dream is dead now.
The MRI, I guess, we'll wait and see if he actually has the pitching injury, right? The ulnar collateral where you might need the reconstruct.
Right.
The Tommy John, which would be a long term. Now, for baseball, it's 12 to 18 months. Now, for football, it may not be quite as long. I feel like Joe Montana did that late in his career. That was something that opened the pathway for Steve Young to have his second career, right? He was kind of sitting on that roster behind Montana. Montana hurt his elbow, and then Steve Young became a legend. Then Montana came back, and he had to change teams, right? He went to Kansas City.
He led them to an AFC championship, didn't he?
He got them to the championship game. Yeah. He did pretty well. So all that to say, I think you're right. I mean, even if it's not a tear, what they said, I was reading, if the MRI comes up that he doesn't need the reconstructed surgery, he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks, and he should be okay for most of the offseason program, should be ready to go for training camp. If he needs the surgery, that's a whole different story. But either way, I think you're probably going to need the insurance of Lance, right? And we said this before. From a salary cap, Lance is still on his first contract. Purdy obviously is making what the league minimum,
right? Probably.
Whatever the Mr. Irrelevant makes, he's the biggest bargain going. So you have at least those two to go with, and you're going to lose Garoppolo no matter what.
Yeah, you lose Garoppolo, you end up being a free agent. I think San Fran's in a position where, you know, they don't have to do anything. Why? Because both of these guys are under rookie deals, and essentially what they're paying both of them doesn't even come close to what some teams are paying their starting quarterback. So they are in a space where, you know, hey, listen, unless you give us something that we can't refuse, then we're going to keep our quarterback. We saw what happened in NFC Championship game. We were down to basically Christian McCaffrey having to be our quarterback, basically. So we're not going to go into a situation like that again. Jimmy G will be gone. We need a starting quarterback, and we need a backup. Hopefully, you know, Purdy doesn't have to have the surgery. I thought it was more so because they didn't mention this. He ended up hitting his elbow and arm on his helmet. That's what happened. Even with the, you know, when he hit his elbow and caused the, you know, ball to flutter, as he was coming down, he hit his arm on top of the helmet. And I think that's what really did it. So hopefully he doesn't have to have surgery. But if he does, then they're really not trading away Trey Lance.
Oh,
that's
no.
A no-no.
Well, I think even regardless of surgery, because I'm with you, if he needs surgery, absolutely not. But even if he doesn't, I look at it like the 49ers did so much to get Trey Lance that Brock Purdy would have had to do so much to have overtaken that starting role. And he was, 8-1 as a starter? Mm-hmm. 9-1?
7-0.
7-0?
Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
7-0.
Yeah, they went on a run. They were 3-3, then they end up going 12-1.
And then in the playoffs. But
his only a loss was in the playoffs, so he ended up being 7-1.
I think that was regular season.
He won a lot of games for the 49ers. And
that was the first loss yesterday, and he got hurt in the game.
Yes.
So we don't even know what would have happened. He was playing fairly well before that play.
Yeah, I thought he was playing a fine game. He's played well ever since he has been the starter. But I remember we asked Tim Hasselbeck about it, about how the 49ers go about their quarterback situation moving forward. And he said anything short of winning the Super Bowl, and they're still going to go ahead with Trey Lance. They traded 3 first-round picks for him. Anything short of, you know, just absolute miracle, I think Brock Purdy was pretty darn close to it. Mm-hmm. Anything short of a miracle, and they are going to continue with Trey Lance.
I think if he comes back healthy, meaning Brock Purdy, if he doesn't have to have the surgery and he comes back healthy, I think there will be a legitimate quarterback battle in camp. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to, hey, listen, we're going to give both of y'all a shot because obviously we traded so much to get Trey Lance in the first round. But this young man, Brock Purdy, has proven that he can play in this league too at a high level. So during camp, y'all battle it out, and we'll decide. Y'all will basically decide for us who will be the starting quarterback. And honestly, I think Brock Purdy got a little bit of an edge on Trey Lance. Why? Because he's played more games, and he played in meaningful games toward the end of the season where they had to go on this run to put themselves in a position to make the playoffs. So to me, heading into next, you know, this upcoming camp, I think Brock Purdy has an edge. But because you had to give up so much for a guy, you got to make this a competition. You can't just say, well, Lance, you're our starting quarterback, or Brock Purdy, you're our starting quarterback. I think you got to come in and say, listen, this our quarterback position, it's a battle between these two guys.
And when you invest that much, and I think a lot of people look at it like almost like Trey Lance is just chopped liver and he's no good and he's almost like a burden to the San Francisco 49ers. I think that is kind of the perception, not from everybody, but I do feel that in some way. I think about what Kyle Shanahan and this offense can do for Brock Purdy, a kid that 31 teams passed on 7 times. What can Trey Lance develop?
Even San Fran passed on him.
6 times.
6 times, yes.
And, you know, Josh Johnson, who was the ultimate emergency quarterback, right? He's been on a million different teams, all the different leagues. He's 36 or 37, 38. I mean, he's way up there. He was quarterback Washington a couple years ago in a game that the Titans had to have, and he played okay. and they almost pulled it off. And the Titans had Blaine Gabbert. Remember, that was yeah. towards the end of that year. It was the year, I think, that they missed the playoffs when they lost to the Colts on the last day of the season and Andrew Luck. So I'm forgetting. It might have been Vrabel's first year.
Uh-huh.
I think it was. But Josh Johnson was in that playing back then. Even he led them on a touchdown drive. He was doing okay, and then he gets hurt, which is, again, comes back to the rule of you should always have three quarterbacks mm-hmm. dressed for every game to avoid exactly what happened on a big stage. That's the sad. That they got to change that rule. It used to be the rule. Mm-hmm. It needs to be the rule. You have to dress three quarterbacks. Make the rule different.
But here's something that I want y'all to sort of think about, too. We've seen San Francisco, and it always brings me back to the Tennessee Titans and what I've been saying for the longest. We've seen three quarterbacks that were not the starting quarterback at the beginning of the year for the San Francisco 49ers, whether it was Garoppolo, Garoppolo, Johnson. I'm not even counting Jimmy G because, I mean, he had some success with New England before he got to San Fran. But once he got to San Fran, his play seemed to be a lot better. But he has a ceiling. Mm-hmm. But you look at Purdy, Lance, and then Johnson. Even with Johnson, I think he would have settled down. He made some good passes. I think as the game would have went on, he would have settled down a bit, and he would have started to find his open receivers. But I go back to the coaches that are coaching these guys, they always get them prepared. They were down to their fourth quarterback, people. And he came in, and Kyle Shanahan still was trying to run his offense. Mm-hmm. And I think had he played more Johnson in that game, had he not gotten hurt, I think you would have saw a different San Francisco team. I think you would have saw a San Francisco team from an offensive standpoint that still would have been able to move the ball. But it goes back to preparing your backups and your third stringers, which brings me to the Tennessee Titans. They haven't been able to do that. They need to find somebody that can do that, mm-hmm. that can be a Kyle Shanahan and say, you may not play all season, but when you do get in, our offense, we're not going to stop doing what we do. Kyle Shanahan proved that. Just because we're down to our fourth quarterback, we're not going to deviate from what we do as a team. Well, when you put your second string quarterback in here, you deviate from what you do. Why? Because that guy is not prepared to play.
But let's tie it together. Where really should Malik Willis have been on the roster? He should have been the third quarterback. But because of the rule, everybody says, well, we need that roster spot for the extra fifth linebacker, special teams guy, whatever you need. And they get tempted and they go down that road where the rule should be there is a man designated on the roster that will be – you must dress three quarterbacks. They will all dress on game day. You will designate the third quarterback. That used to be the thing. I don't know why they went away from that, but you should never have that situation in a championship game.
Because of the rules.
McCaffrey is trying to put the thing in his helmet so we can get the plays.
Uh-huh.
He goes in there and tries to throw. It was ridiculous.
Trying to take wildcat snaps.
So stupid.
The fact
you should have three quarterbacks. And Malik Willis should have been the third quarterback mm-hmm. all year long. He should have been. That's where he should be developing behind the scenes, and they could have prepared him better. Instead, they tried to manipulate the roster. Oh, we need the other spot. Let's make Malik the backup. Maybe we won't need him. Oh, you needed him. Oh, did you ever need him?
He wasn't ready. Yes, he should have been developed better because it's not like they asked him to play the first game of the season. It wasn't until week, 10, somewhere around there, where he had to come in and play. He should have been, to me, this is only me, the kid should have been developed. He should have looked like he was halfway ready.
Is that an indictment on the coaching staff or Malik Willis?
It's both. Also the rule. It's also the rules. They shouldn't have had to force it. Shouldn't have forced it the first year.
Well, San Francisco was able to do it.
You should have had a...
San Francisco was able to do it. They brought in all... They got 20 Purdy, quarterbacks.
I give Purdy... I mean, it was incredible what he did.
They developed him.
But you should have another option there.
What they, you can dress three quarterbacks.
They didn't start the season with Purdy as the backup.
I know.
They started Purdy. I don't know where he was. I guess he was on the practice squad.
That's even worse.
I see what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right. They still developed
him. They still developed him.
But you should have a veteran presence there, whether it had been Josh Dobbs or whether it was Logan Woodside. You shouldn't have had to think about, well, let's put the guy on the practice squad, Woodside, because we need Malik Willis. He's not ready. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If you had three quarterbacks, they would have looked at it differently, I think.
And I think that the need for that three quarterback rule was on full display yesterday, because I understand the argument of, well, you can't change a rule every single time something happens. And I hear that. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this was a game between two of the best teams in the league, two of the best rosters in the league, and it was such a snooze fest. And I feel
the game was over once Johnson got hurt. Yeah.
Out of what should have been a great game.
Philly fans ain't mad.
Philly fans.
They enjoyed it quite nicely,
mad.
Didn't they?
They loved it. They're not voting for three quarterback rule in Philadelphia. But I mean, what should have been such a great game was a snooze fest.
This was the rule for years. Everybody used to dress three quarterbacks for 100 years almost until they did this thing with the rule.
That's when I could body slam quarterbacks back then.
So maybe, yeah, well, that's true too.
Yeah.
But the Players Association, GMs, it should be a thing. You should mandate it so that doesn't happen yesterday and you got a running back trying to play quarterback in a championship game. It's not going to happen very often, but there should be three quarterbacks on every roster dressed on Sunday. One is designated for emergency only. It's simple.
Right.
It's not like this is a new thing. They used to have the rule.
You're right.
I used to get those inactives when you were playing, D-Maze, inactives. Third quarterback, so-and-so. And we used to laugh at who the third. Oh, that guy's still in the league? He's the third quarterback? He's never going to play. But he was there. At least he had a uniform on. He got a paycheck.
At least he was a quarterback.
Yes. And he's,
At least he's got Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
Oh, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls and your texts. But one of the biggest storylines in sports over the weekend, D-May saw up close and personal, and he is heated about it. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-May, 1025-1063, the game.
They thought he was fouled. Excuse me. And it's now overtime. LeBron James so upset. Regulation is over. We go to the 5-minute OT. Darvin Ham looks at the officiating staff and says, terrible. Wow. Clear foul.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. And there was a flop. Not necessarily a flop. That's not the correct term. Meltdown, maybe? Or a temper tantrum heard around at least the basketball world Saturday night. D-Mace, you were there.
Uh-huh.
Not very happy about the refereeing in the Lakers-Celtics game on Saturday night when we saw LeBron James throw a fit.
Yeah.
Throw a fit.
And rightfully so. He was livid. So much so. Again, and my son, Derek, who is a huge LeBron. I think he likes LeBron more than he likes his family, honestly. The kid is just like, it's like two people. If it was a burning building, there's three people he would save before he even think about saving myself, his sister, his mom. That's the two dogs and LeBron James. I really think so.
No, so you guys are ranking pretty low on the ladder here.
We're ranked pretty low, but no. But my son, even to today, he texted me something this morning about, you know, the whole LeBron thing and NBA and refs. And it, so he still have not gotten over it. And
I understand.
I don't think he will. And I understand it because, you know, when I was young and you just get so entrenched with a team and it's like, it makes you mad because you know you can't do anything. But that was a wonderful game. We got treated to a really, really good game. Overtime victory by the Boston Celtics, which it shouldn't have went into overtime. It should have been a foul. And the crazy part about it is after the game, and we talked about, you know, the refs having to, you know, give explanations or having to do interviews with just one reporter, and it's usually typed up and it's you know, it's not really that long, but it's just specific calls, why you made this call, why you didn't. Well, the head ref was said blatantly, like, listen, that was a foul. Like, clearly was a foul. We missed it. But my thing and everybody else's thing, even Boston fans could say that that was a foul. There's a ref standing right there that is watching the play as it's developing. Everybody knows who's going to take the last shot. Everybody knows LeBron is driving to the hole. And it was so much a foul that you could tell it was a foul. The ball didn't even hit the rim. Tatum hit LeBron's arm. The ref standing right there looking at him. He hits LeBron's arm. The ball doesn't even get to the rim, and it just falls. LeBron turns around, and he's going nuts, rightfully so, because that's the game winner, because he's going to the foul line. That's the game winner. But this has been, you know, LeBron's gripe and other players' gripes as well, that at times the officiating isn't as consistent. And to me, LeBron does have a gripe here, because LeBron drives to the bucket. It's sort of like when Shaq was playing, you know, when Shaq would get the ball in the paint, people would grab and everything else, and sometimes they just wouldn't call it.
Yeah.
You know, and Shaq would turn around like, man, they're just killing because her. I'm 7 foot one and 300 pounds and all muscle doesn't mean I don't get fouled.
There's a recent documentary on Shaq on HBO that talks about that very thing, that even referees were kind of talking about it, like, we've never had a guy like this. Mm-hmm. So how do we call the game? Because people foul Shaq on virtually every play. And on the other side, when he's blocking shots, he's so big and he just runs into people. Sometimes they just call a foul on Shaq just for being big. And so they had to really figure out how to ref. And I think there's a little bit of that with
LeBron.
It goes
on with LeBron. Because
he's so big and he's moving so fast that ever since he's come into the league, that has been tough. And, of course, he's a little bit of a flopper.
Yeah, I mean, it works again. I'm not going to say it because my son's probably listening and, you know, he probably get upset.
We'll say it for you.
But here's the thing.
But he's not alone.
No, he's
not. No.
But here's why I think not only LeBron, but the head coach, even AD, was just like, man, listen, you got the best player on the planet. He can't even get a call. And this has happened more times than not.
They really openly talked about it after the game on Saturday. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Around
NBA
the league.
Referees, they tweeted out and said, like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and that is gut-wrenching for us. This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees we can be.
Wow.
Wow.
They felt the need to say that.
Yes. That is
because
a lot of remorse.
That game, that call was so
egregious.
Even Tatum gets up there, and he don't want to say it wasn't a foul, but he's like, man, everything was just a blur. I don't remember if it was a foul or not.
Sure.
But exactly.
Me too.
But I get to this because, you know, when you look at, and my son texted me this like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. He said, Dad, this is why people are so upset, because if you look at free throw shooting in the NBA, who shoots the most and who doesn't, you have Giannis, rightfully so, because Giannis drives the ball to the hole all the time. Joel Embiid, that's my dude. Joel, if y'all saw that game this weekend, man, that dude is straight up legit. I always knew that. But he drives the ball to the hole a lot because of his big frame. Luka Doncic, he's the same way. Mm-hmm. Those three guys average over 11 foul shots a game. LeBron plays the same way, but only averages 6.2 fouls per game. People are like, that shouldn't be the case. Because his game is just like Giannis. Go to the hole, and either you're going to foul me or I'm going to make it. Why does Giannis get more calls than LeBron? And it's been like that LeBron's whole career. And I guess it sort of falls back to, you know, we've never seen a guy.
Giannis, they call him the Greek freak for a reason.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever been like him either. That goes back to, we started the show talking about officiating in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I think these same discussions go on in hockey all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just hard because players come along. You've never seen this before. The speed that they play at, the innovation that the coaches and the schemes come up with, it makes it harder and harder to officiate. And officiating, I think, sometimes has a hard time keeping up.
These big guys.
Yeah.
I tell you, somebody else is going to run into it. Zion, because of one of those LeBron-type
players. It was definitely happening in college.
Exactly, where how do you officiate a guy that big, that explosive, that strong, and he's coming to the hole.
He blew out of his shoe. Remember his shoe exploded in college. Remember that?
Do you call it every time? Zion is another guy that's going to going to run into this more times than not, going to the hole and not getting those calls. It's just, I think players around the league, they, even though they, you know, they may not, you know, when they play the Lakers, they may like, don't call no fouls on LeBron. But I think players around the league are looking at it like, you know what? Yeah, he's right. Like, he is getting the bad end of this stick here in regards to fouls, especially going to the hole.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Hope you had a good trip, D-Mace.
Yeah, it was great. Anytime I could spend time with my son and watch a basketball game, more importantly, the Lakers, and more importantly for him, LeBron, it's a good weekend.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad you had a good time. Teron Davenport, TD, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the playoffs this past weekend and some Titans stories as well. We'll get into that with Teron Davenport coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.